Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Fourth quarter action here at Carmel Stadium. I'm John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. It's been a fantastic game so far. Back and forth, back and forth. The first half we saw Warren Central put 6 points on the board. Again, two field goals there. Credit the defense of doing a nice job of stopping Warren before they were able to put up 14 via touchdowns. But then we saw Warren put up another six. Tried to go for two. That was no good there. Led by Jeffrey George. And then things got a little crazy, Jesse.
Absolutely. You come back on that offensive side of the ball. John Lampe on a screen pass, 66 yards. Finds Austin Roberts, and Austin Roberts takes it to the house, doing what Austin Roberts does best in clutch situations in the second half. He's able to convert and take it to the end zone. And then on the next drive, a 35-yard pass from Lampe to Baldwin off that right side deep. Wide open was Thomas Baldwin. He's able to convert, get that first down on a second and 22. A lot of people might forget that. And Chris Perkins still get the rest of the way off the left tackle. But we return the action as from that flex bone formation. Jeffrey George under center, single back, under pressure, looking to throw over the middle of the field. And that one is going to be incomplete, bouncing around. And that is going to bring up a fourth and seven from their own 23-yard line. This Carmel defense locking down in the second half.
Defensively, I don't think the Greyhounds need to make any more adjustments. They've done a great job at the coverage game, shutting down that pass of Jeffrey George, that mid-range pass granted. Now, George is kind of make it easier. He's thrown behind his receivers every once in a while. But you still got to give credit to that.
Jason Baldridge, that one a high punt, bouncing at about the 45. Baldridge able to make a fair catch at the 44-yard line. Carmel Greyhounds start this possession with excellent field position. 11:48 remaining in the ballgame. They lead 13-12.
So the game is obviously still not over. A lot of time left to play. Again, 13-12 really isn't the score that reflects the play from both sides of the ball. Again, Carmel really should be down. And when we mean down, they should be down by three or four scores thus far. They've given up a lot of field position, a lot of opportunities via turnovers, via interceptions. But John Lampe now, he's gotten the luck of the draw, and he's starting to really make things happen for that offense.
Best field position the Carmel Greyhounds have had yet. Screen pass right side to Roberts. Roberts dances to the outside, 45-yard line, 50. Now jukes his way back out of bounds for a solid gain, 5 yards there on first down, setting up about a second and six, close to midfield. 13-12 again remains your score. Creeping up on the Warren Central territory, 11:41 remaining in the ballgame. Lampe staying out on the field as he has throughout this most of this second half. He goes four wide pistol. They split the difference on the receivers. They put Roberts in motion into the backfield. This time they hand it off to Perkins up the middle. He storms across the 50, down at about the 48-yard line, sitting up about a third and three. So 11:28 remaining in the ballgame, 13-12. Mangers score. Lampe goes back into the shotgun, going no huddle offense this time. Same formation, that four wide pistol from the right hash. Tries to go hard count, now looks over towards the sideline. Additional signaling, directing that offense at the line. Moves back into the pistol. Perkins remains in the backfield right behind him. Lampe takes a snap, looks screen. Roberts right side. Roberts has a little bit of room. He's going to be pushed out of bounds at about the 46. Just out of bounds. And it's going to be close. It's going to bring up about a fourth and one. They are in Warren Central territory. John Lampe wants to go for it here. And it looks like he is going to be able to win that appeal. Will be an official fourth and two. Lampe trying to talk it over with coach. And they're going to make a couple substitutions. Adam Kramer heads back towards the sideline. Shakir Pascal will enter the game for Colin Pearson. Fourth and two, a pivotal play in this ball game as John Lampe, the senior quarterback, will go back into the flex bone. Under center, two wide set. They put Perkins in motion. Now he looks over for additional signaling. I formation. We are going to get a timeout from the Carmel Greyhounds offense. With 11:01 remaining in the ball game, off this fourth and two.
And I like the timeout there because we started to see a little bit of almost look like intentional confusion there in the background, trying to draw the defense of Warren Central offsides, get the free yardage to move the chains. So now they're going to talk it over here, come up with a big boy play. try to move those chains and get something going. I like the call. See, John Lampe really hasn't had an opportunity on fourth down. He's done a good job of submitting to coach, coming off the field, letting the defense do the job. They've done a great job so far. You know, you're up 13-12 midfield. Your defense has obviously shown that they can make a stand. You know, I think you got to say, why not in this position? Give him a shot down the field. Maybe even run it up the middle with a Shakir Pascal. Maybe run it off a guard there. Let that offensive line work a little bit.
The offensive line has been spot on so far tonight. Lampe has had time to throw when he's needed to. Shakir Pascal last week, 101 yards on the ground, averaged over 5 yards a carry last game. Very impressive night indeed for him. He needs to get 2 yards on this carry.
And Perkins is kind of a guy that's been almost undermined. And actually, excuse us, folks, Adam Kramer's going to come out for the punt here. So they're going conservative. I like it. Trying to force Warren here with some deep field position.
So Lampe going to head towards the sidelines as Kramer kicks this one straight up into the air towards the 20. That one bounces out of bounds at about the 30-yard line. About a 23-yard punt there from Adam Kramer on the net. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 10:52 here. Warren's got the ball now. We're seeing Jeff George come out, take his shot at about the 28-yard line.
They're going to come out in the pistol formation, two wide, two tight ends set, one tailback. George looks over towards that left side, finds his man, Coe, able to make the reception for about a gain of 6 yards. Will be a second and four, already coming out more aggressive than they did in that last drive. George starting to air it out.
What a catch there by Jay Coe, too. The ball thrown low on the outside of Coe, but making the diving catch there. A lot of athleticism from that wide receiver back we've seen so far. Coe's had a breakout game as well. Not a guy that I listed on my stat sheet to be looking out for, but, man, he has made a presence here and really opened it up for Jeff George.
They're going to go four wide spread from the gun, three out to his right. From his own 36, takes the snap. Here comes the blitz from Karma looking right. He's going to take a big shot. That's Coe once again. Has enough for the first down. Conway coming up with the stop. He will have enough across that 41-yard line. First down and 10. The clock stops at 10:09 left in the ball game. 13-12. Carmel still holds that lead over the Warren Central Warriors, but they're starting to drive. Their own 41. This time they'll be lined off that right hash. So not as much room to roll out if you are Jeffrey George. You would on that left hash there. They switch the receiver set. Three out to his left. Now one out to his right. Carmel showing blitz. Takes the snap, hands it off the middle. Adrian Smith is going to be brought down by a bunch of Greyhounds there. Good job by Anthony Mazza coming up with the tackle initially. Second and six.
Mazza's been a guy. He plays that rover position. I know we've mentioned it before, but it's actually, a lot of people think it's kind of a linebacker. It's actually more leans on the defensive end side of the ball. They play him there to give guys like Sean Stetson some extra relief, some extra penetration in that backfield, and obviously it's working so far.
This time they go three wide as the tailback moves inside. Two out to his left. Carmel showing blitz once again. Mitch Davis coming off the safety blitz. They get it out to his receiver. He's going to be brought down close to the 49-yard line, which is what he needed for the first down. Gegner coming up with another catch. Getting close to that first down marker is going to depend on the spot. No signaling yet. 9:06 remaining in the ball game, 13-12. They're going to wait for the call, and it will be a first down. That'll stop the clock, and now they are in Greyhound territory at the 48-yard line. They'll line up off the left hash. So a lot of time running up the clock here on this drive for Warren Central that started back at about their own 30-yard line, moved up about 22 yards. Four wide set, trips out to the right, one tailback, that's Smith. From the gun, George takes the snap, hands it off. Smith, right tackle, has some room to run, across the 40-yard line. Spin move down at the 35-yard line. And a good run there from Adrian Smith, moving across the tackles. 8:51 remaining in the ball game. Still 13-12. Carmel holding on to that one-point lead. Clock stops per high school rules. After each first down, the ball is set, and the clock will start to run. Jeffrey George going back into the huddle now. Trying to get his team into field goal range. They're going to need about 7 yards to do so with the range of Max Hernandez. Three wide set, two out to his right. They put a man in motion. Smith gets the handoff again up the middle, barreling through, takes Anthony Mazza on a little bit of a ride, but still able to make the tackle, assisted by Andrew Tin. 5 yard gain. 8:22 and counting, 13-12 remains your score. They are at the 30-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds. Jeffrey George comes back into the huddle. I've noticed this quite a bit throughout the game, that Jeffrey George is taking almost every second he can off of that play clock. A lot of time going off the clock when the Warriors have the ball. Shotgun formation, they give the handoff to his man, and he's going to be brought down right at the line of scrimmage. Cliff Thomas going off that right tackle, and a great job by linebacking core. That charge led by Wade Murdoch and Alex Akins.
The likes of Wade Murdoch getting into the backfield, almost able to make a stop, about a 3 yard loss that was, but able to recover there. Defensive line crashing there, so a third down and 5, doable but still tough when you're facing that Carmel defense.
Jeffrey George is going to talk this one over a little bit longer with his offense. 7:28 remaining in the ball game. We're starting to get into the latter stages. 13-12 is the score. Third and 5 from the Carmel 30-yard line. They come out 4 wide set from the true shotgun. Split the difference. They put a man in motion. Now he's off that right side. George with the blitz steps up in the pocket looking deep for Gillespie. Overthrows him, and that is going to bring up 4th down and 5. About a yard or two over his head.
And that's the arm of Jeff George that is so deadly there. Let his receiver too much, just overthrown. But had some daylight, had he made that throw, we would be looking at 7 or 6 points put up on the board by Warren Central. I know it was an incomplete pass, but still, you gotta double down if you're that coverage team there. You can't allow Jeff George to have an open receiver.
And this one will be a 47-yard field goal attempt if Hernandez stays on the field for this one. 7:08 remaining, trusting the range of the kicker. The hold is good. The kick is going to be deflected at the line of scrimmage, and that one will be no good, and the Carmel Greyhounds are going to get some excellent field position.
And that's what happens when number 39, Drew Sumiere, has a tough time putting that ball down. It just makes it so hard for that kicker to even convert there.
So 4th and 5, they don't keep the offense onto the field. They bring up the kicker for a 47-yard attempt, and the hold just a little too late for Hernandez to be able to do much with it. Carmel Greyhounds will take over at their own 20-yard line. 7:02 remaining in the ball game. John Lampe comes back out onto the field. They're going to go true shotgun with two backs in the backfield, 3 wide set. Hands off to Shakir Pascal, right tackle. He's going to be brought down after about a gain of 3. Now kind of going with a Warren Central type formation that we haven't seen so far tonight. Clock continues to run, 2nd and 7 from their own 23-yard line. 6:42 remaining in the ball game and counting. John Lampe in no hurry to get this play off with that 1-point lead. He goes back under single back formation. Pascal lines up as the fullback. They hand it off to Perkins, who's going to be tripped up at the 24-yard line, trying to go back up the middle. He gains a yard. We'll bring up 3rd and 6. So 3rd and 6 for the Carmel Greyhounds. Pearson and Baldridge will come back into the ball game for Becker and Pascal. Perkins will stay out there as the lone tailback. And now Lampe, directing this offense, is going to come out in the shotgun. 4 wide set, 3 out to his right. Perkins remains to his side. Zone 24 takes the snap, looking deep over the right side. Pressure coming, trying to pass that one away. He's going to be sacked. The ball is on the ground. That will be a fumble. Let's see who comes up with it. And it looks like the Carmel Greyhounds are able to recover from what would have been almost a disaster right there for their offense. And that's going to bring up the 4th and long for Adam Kramer and his punting unit. This is going to be a tall task from Kramer as the ball stands at the 8-yard line.
And again, that's where John Lampe's got to have the wisdom and the know-how to get that ball out of his hands. He's holding it too long there. I know he likes to scramble. I know he likes to get out of that pocket. But right as he sees his halfback, his dump-off man, turn around, that ball's got to be out of his hands. He cannot allow another situation like that, especially when you're that close to the end zone.
Looks like we are going to have a stoppage in play here. 5:14 remaining in the ball game. 13-12 is your score. We'll be right back.
Quick score update here. Fishers now has tacked on 17 to Zionsville 7. 5:06 left in the game. Now remember, that Fishers offense is captained by none other than Connor Christensen. Very talented quarterback. Had a breakout season last year as a junior. Again, a transfer from Heritage Christian School. I know I've been all over the place, but I got to actually catch a few balls from Connor Christensen. A very talented kid, but here's kind of a unique attribute to Christensen. He's a lefty. And that was, talk about an adjustment right there. It's different catching a ball from a lefty than a righty. A lot more spin on that ball, and you really have to, it's kind of funny. The curvage on that football curves away from the receiver. It's an adjustment, but hey, he's a good, accurate passer. I'd love to see what he'll do later on in this offseason.
John Perkins knows just about everybody on this side of the White River. We're going to be playing 6 degrees of John Perkins here pretty soon as Kramer's punt is up and away at about the 50-yard line. A beautiful punt from his own end zone as Coe takes this one and races towards the right sideline. He's going to be brought down at the 45. So good return coverage there by the Carmel Greyhounds. Luke Parker comes up with the tackle.
Yeah, Luke Parker, another guy. He had a big season last year again. Just a junior, but played a lot last year as a sophomore. Again, coming up big. Actually, in the Warren game, we saw him make quite a few tackles there. He's a guy who gets heated a little bit, but hey, nothing that can hurt anybody. So good job from him on that return team right there. Got to give credit to Adam Kramer again. I mean, the guy has bailed the Greyhounds out. Jeff George has got good field position, but the Greyhounds can handle it as a defensive unit.
He kicks it to about midfield from his own end zone in the back, but George takes over, three wide set from the shotgun, rolls out to his left, looking deep down for Gillespie, and he's going to take a big shot from Jack Conway, who breaks up the play. That one will be incomplete for 2nd and 10.
Nice pass there by Jeff George, though, opposite shoulder, off his receiver's hands. Again, that's a catchable ball, folks, but it's tough to do when a guy like Jack Conway lowers his shoulder right into your chest.
Jack Conway, standing at about 5'7", had the chance to talk to him. He told me he doesn't like, you know, the smaller stature. He was giving advice to the younger players, younger defensive secondary. Don't let that be an issue. And he just showed that right there, just as strong as anybody else coming over towards that sideline. They go true I formation this time. Two wide sets split the difference, 2nd and 10 from the Carmel 46. Right hash, he takes the snap, pitches that one out to Coe. Coe's going way deep on that one. That one sails out of bounds, a little bit of trickery on that play. But that's going to bring up a 3rd and 10 just like that. So 3rd and 10 from the 46-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds with 4:51 remaining. The clock is starting to dwindle a little bit here. The Carmel Greyhounds holding on to a 13-12 lead. Big 3rd and 10 coming up for the Warren Central Warriors. Here's something else to note. They are out of timeouts. So Jeffrey George comes back out. Right hash. Four wide set, split the difference. Everybody on their feet here at Carmel Stadium. He takes a snap, blitz coming from the Hounds. He steps up in the pocket, now rolls out to his left. Under a lot of pressure, throws that one. Gets his man at the 35-yard line. He's going to have enough for the first down. That is Gegner once again, clutch on third down. That is his third reception and the third conversion.
Now, again, Gegner's been inconsistent this game, but it doesn't matter. One pass, one reception can change a game right there, and that's a game-changing reception. Silencing this Carmel Stadium that just a second ago was so loud, that was so overpowering, you could feel the energy just oozing out of the stands. And Jeff George says, not so fast, I'm not done yet. Almost like a Peyton Manning kind of a quarterback who's able to shut that crowd up. Good job by George and his receivers.
X-wing set. They give that one off to the tailback. Right tackle storming through. He's going to be brought down, but not before about a gain of 6 on first down there. Tyron Young, first time we called his name in a little bit, but the clock continues to run. 4:30 remaining. Warren trailing by 1 point, but they are driving now. We'll be at the spotted at the 26-yard line right in the middle of the field as George goes back to the huddle. No sense of urgency this time. Willing to let the clock run down a little bit. They are within field goal range, as we have seen the willingness to let Hernandez kick it from 40 yards plus on 2 different occasions. The one time they pulled him off the field. A shotgun set here for George. Split back formation. He drops back a little bit. He looks over. That one almost intercepted, and Adrian Smith comes up with the diving reception. He's going to gain a couple yards on that one. But out on coverage, we saw it looked like Brian Sondel's just out of his outreached hand, brings up third and manageable.
Nice catch there by Smith. Looked a little iffy if he brought that reception in, but the referee was standing right there, had a perfect view, better view than any of us up here in the booth. So a nice reception there by Adrian Smith. Again, another testament to his duo skills as a receiver and a rusher.
Third and three for the Warren Central Warriors offense. They go shotgun two wide, both out to his right. Right hash, they put a man in motion, takes the snap, hands it off. It looks like that is Young trying to spin across. He's going to be short of the first down at about the 23. Coe, actually the ball carrier on that one, brings up a fourth and two. They got a kicker with a lot of range, and they've been willing to kick it from farther back than this. Jeffrey George looking over at that sideline, discussing it with his coach. The clock continues to run, and it looks like the field goal unit is coming out onto the field, and Max Hernandez is going to be attempting another long attempt here, this one at 40 yards. So fourth and two, they elect to go with the field goal, trailing by 1.2, 42 remaining in the ball game. They're going to have to get the snap off in a hurry. Play clock running down. The hold is good. The kick is up. That one has the distance. Does it have the accuracy? It does, and the kick is good, and Max Hernandez hits a 40-yard field goal to give Warren Central a 15-13 lead.
And now, granted, here's where, you know, you're going to have to ask yourself. You had one timeout left as the Greyhounds there. That was an opportunity to ice the kicker, but again, that's one timeout. And this could be the timeout that makes or breaks it for the Greyhounds. Now they're only down two. And this is where all those point after attempts and the two-point conversions come into play. Things like that where it's like, do you go for two here and get the payoff, or do you risk putting yourself in a hole? Now, here's the thing. The Greyhounds have a great kicker in Adam Kramer. Kramer could win the ball game. 2:32 here. Lampy's going to come out on the field, or James, depending on who they go with. But either one's got an opportunity to make something happen. Kramer's got a little bit of range himself. He hasn't really had an opportunity to showcase that, or really actually a pressure situation, to be honest. But I had looked for Adam Kramer as a resource that they could go to, you know, last case scenario.
And before we move on, you got to give credit to Hernandez on that kick, 40 yards out, and that had plenty of distance on it, had about 10 yards to spare on the kick as he drills it through to lead by two. But again, as you mentioned, both these kickers with some incredible range. We'll see if that will be tested. The two-minute drill coming up for John Lampe and this Carmel offense. They have one timeout to work with. This kick is up and away from Hernandez. That one bounces into the end zone for the automatic touchback, so they have to go 80 yards in about 2.5 minutes. The automatic touchback, and neither side has had a kickoff return tonight. Both kickers, Hernandez and Kramer, doing great jobs on the automatic touchbacks. Right now, the yardage situation, Carmel leads 239 to 185. But it's the other scoreboard that matters the most right here. They're trailing by two.
So Max Hernandez is going to be a big, big loss next year. He's a senior this year. Does, obviously, you saw an incredible job at the kicking game. But he's also a defensive lineman. He's made his presence known out there tonight as he actually lines up to face that O-line of the Greyhounds.
Four wide set, shotgun for Lampe from his own 20. Looks to pass deep down the right side to Baldwin. That one almost intercepted right through the hands of the defensive back right there. That's Eddie Evans, who's listed as a wide receiver. A senior there, and a dangerous throw will set up a second and 10.
Eddie Evans, like you said, a receiver, and sometimes it's smart to actually put the guys with better hands out there in that coverage game. But Evans not showcasing his hands there, blew the interception. That would have been a game-ending interception potentially. Folks, 227, 13. Carmel's got 13. Warren's got 15, but Carmel's got the ball, and they've also got a quarterback in John Lampe. He's trying to move it downfield now.
Evans also had an interception of James earlier in the game. Same formation for the Hounds. Has time to throw, rolling out to his right now. Has to improvise, looking for Perkins. Overthrows and has to throw that one away. And that's going to set up a third and 10 with 2:21 remaining in the ball game.
So not the position you want to be in if you're John Lampe. You got a third and long now. And you're pegged at the 20-yard line. And again, that's one of those things where John Lampe's having to scramble, do whatever he can. But Chris Perkins has to play more heads up there. He has to know that he's the dump man. He's got to be able to turn around and provide that relief to John Lampe. And instead, he's just running upfield trying to get something going. You got to play heads up now. You can't afford to make mistakes at this position in the game.
Third and 10, same formation. Blitz coming from Warren Central behind him. He's going to be hit hard and thrown down at the 10-yard line. And that's going to set up a fourth and 20 for the Carmel Greyhounds with 2:12 remaining in the ball game. Lampe had nowhere to go on that one. Immediately, the rush was right in his face.
What a tough call now if you're a Greyhound coach here. 2 minutes now is what we're going to come up to. We're just under 2 minutes, so Lampe has no other choice but to stay out on the field. They're coming out in that deep spread offense here, folks. This is high school football.
Four wide set, three out to his left. Lampe takes the snap, has time to throw, looking deep over the middle to Roberts. Roberts gets it, takes the big shot, and he is not going to have enough. He is a yard short of the first down. But it looks like forward progress, possibly, depending on the spot. This one's going to be close, and the Carmel Greyhounds will have enough for the first down, the 4th-and-20 conversion by Austin Roberts.
And you can say Christmas came maybe 3 years early for the Greyhounds on that one. A great catch there by Roberts. Forward progress got him the ball, so they're going to keep going now. Minute 31.
Lampe takes a snap, looking towards the right side, finds Roberts again. He heads out of bounds. That will stop the clock for a gain of six. But going back to that last play, he knocked him back about 3 yards, a good 3 yards there. But the forward progress is just enough, a half a yard.
And again, if you get the ball out to a guy like Austin Roberts, things happen. And, I mean, credit John Lampe for knowing who he was going to there. But you got to give credit to Austin Roberts. I mean, he made that catch. Not only just one DB on him, but two. He shouldn't have made that catch. Austin Roberts there made that first down. MVP on this drive.
And takes a shot for sure at the end of that one. Knew it was coming. Shotgun formation. Fakes the screen. Now looking deep over towards that right side of the field. Nowhere to go but to throw that away. 3rd and 4 coming up for the Carmel Greyhounds. That stops the clock at a minute 20. They're at their own 37-yard line. And Austin Roberts really showcasing the talents in the second half. Trailing by 2, 3rd and 4 coming up for the Greyhounds, 4 down territory. Compared to last time, a 4th and 4, you know, compared to a 4th and 20, anything is possible is what we've seen. 4 wide set, they split the difference. Perkins in the backfield. Lampe takes the snap, looks right, finds Baldwin. Baldwin gets the first down at the 44-yard line, and that will stop the clock.
John Lampe is so good with the two-minute drill. He works the ball almost like Tom Brady. You know, whenever you'd see that Manning-Brady mashup like there, Colts fans would just freak out whenever you gave Brady the ball with 2 minutes. And that's how John Lampe's worked the ball thus far, hitting his receivers, but he's also hitting them quick. I love this drive by John Lampe.
4 wide set, 3 out to his left, 1st down and 10 from their own 43. Lampe with time to throw, looks right to Baldwin. That one is going to be incomplete, and it looks like we might have a roughing the passer. John Lampe clapping his hands as that one was thrown after the pass at the 39-yard line. If that's so, that is valuable field position for the Carmel Greyhounds.
Another score update here. Ben Davis, after an interception, they're able to score 30 to Center Grove's 13, 6:50 left in the game, folks. We might see the number one team right now in that AP poll go down. Ben Davis is sure putting on a show, and that's going to be a tough game for the Greyhounds in the next two meetings.
Ben Davis putting up a show, and both of these teams putting up a show here tonight as that one moves them up 15 yards after the roughing the passer penalty, now at the 42-yard line of Warren Central. They are starting to get close to that field goal range for Adam Kramer. 4 wide set, same formation this time for the Carmel Greyhounds. He's got 3 out to his left, 1 to his right. Perkins remains in the backfield. Lampe with the pump fake, looking deep for Baldwin. Got him open, just overthrows him. Had a little bit of space, Baldwin did. But a minute 6 remaining will bring up 2nd and 10. Carmel Greyhounds still trailing by 2. Again, they still have that one timeout, so the over-the-middle option is still there if you want to look for Roberts from the slot. At the 42-yard line of Warren Central, a beautiful drive orchestrated here by John Lampe, the senior quarterback. You got to also throw in Austin Roberts. He's lined up in the slot as we were just talking about. Perkins goes to his left side. 2nd and 10, Lampe takes the snap, looking to pass. Under a little bit of pressure, rolls out to his right. You're going to have to throw that one up and away, and that's going to bring down 3rd down and 10, and we are under a minute to play.
See, again, it goes back to what we've talked about before. Lampe holding that ball way too long in the pocket there. He's got to go drop back, 1-2, throw. He's got to find his receivers. He's got to scan the field. Hey, but not everybody can do it, and it's a tough roll. And we can't dumb it down at all. John Lampe's done an incredible job on this drive so far. But it's got to go back to those fundamentals if he wants to put some points on the board and take the lead.
4 wide set from the pistol. Fakes a handoff. Now Lampe running across the middle. He's going to dive across the 40-yard line on 3rd down and 10. They go with an option run, and that's going to stop the clock here. Timeout from Carmel with 51.2 seconds remaining. That's going to bring up about a 4th and 7 at the 39-yard line of Warren Central.
So the Greyhounds burn their last timeout here. Potentially the most important play call of the entire night here. Down 2 points, 51 seconds in the ballgame. You got a 4th down, Jesse. You know, if I'm the Greyhounds here, you know, you've got a talented kicker in Adam Kramer. But this is a very, very long field goal. And I think field goal is just totally out of the question so far. So now that you've ruled that out, I think personally, I'd like to see him employ the play action here. You know, maybe even a draw. I think this is probably going to be the hardest call that we've seen all night. But if you want anyone to be able to convert on a 4th down, I pick John Lampe as my captain. I pick John Lampe to take that driver's seat and try to lead this team to victory.
They converted on 4th and 20 earlier in this drive. They're going to need another one here on 4th and 7. 4 wide set, 3 out, 2 is left. Roberts is out to his right. Lampe takes the snap. Blitz coming. Is throwing deep down the field in the area of Baldwin. Baldwin makes the catch and the big shot at the 2-yard line. And that will stop the clock. It will be a 1st and goal at the 2-yard line. And John Lampe has done it again.
And so when you take that shot downfield, it doesn't matter if you're throwing to Austin Roberts. It doesn't matter if you're throwing to Jason Baldridge. It doesn't even matter if you throw into Thomas Baldwin. These guys can catch. They've got hands. And Baldwin comes up there. Not only does he make a catch, but he takes a huge hit at the end of the play. I held my breath because I thought he might have dropped the ball. But instead, steps up. And now John Lampe has got 4 downs within the 5-yard line to make something happen. Folks, this could be a miracle ball game.
4 wide set from the pistol. They try to hand this one out to Perkins, and he dances into the end zone. And Chris Perkins has given the Carmel Greyhounds the lead 19-15 with 33 seconds remaining in the ball game.
Marvelous, marvelous play call there by the offensive coordinator and the coaches. Great job there. Able to recognize that the defense was on their heels. They were caught off guard. Good job by the offensive line. A nice job by that little misdirection play there. Chris Perkins able to work his way into the end zone. What a drive. What a drive by the Greyhounds to come up big on 4th down twice. 2 big 4th down plays. The first to Austin Roberts, the second to Thomas Baldwin to set up that score. And now the Greyhounds are looking at 19-15 here.
It looks like they're going to want to go for 2 here. So we're going to have a little bit of an equipment timeout over there on that right side for the Carmel Greyhounds. Chris Perkins, that is his 2nd rushing touchdown of the night. But 2 words for you, John, here. John Lampe on that drive, the 2-minute drill, had 2.5 minutes, 1 conversion on 4th and 20 to Austin Roberts, a 2nd one deep down the field on 4th and 7 to Thomas Baldwin, the senior, stepping up big on this final drive. And now going for 2 to try to make this what would be a 6-point game, as we know. In all cases, the extra point is not a guaranteed thing. As Baldwin goes off the field, places helmets there with Parker Redelman, as the equipment issue has been resolved, and Baldwin is able to line up deep on that right side for John Lampe. 4 wide set. They line up at the extra point line here. From the shotgun, he has Perkins out to his right. Lampe will take the snap. He looks to pass the pump fake over to the corner of the end zone for Baldwin. Does he get the feed? And he does! And that makes it a 6-point game, 21-15, to cap off arguably the best drive we have seen from the Carmel Greyhounds this season.
And so two teams, both 4-2, coming out battling head-to-head, a big-time rivalry, Carmel and Warren Central. It's been back-to-back in the second half. Great ball from both quarterbacks, from both teams. But really, the player, I think, on that drive, well, I got to give it to 2 because I can't take anything away from Austin Roberts, who kept that drive alive after making a crucial catch on 4th and 20, was able to come up big and hold on to the ball. But then it was all Thomas Baldwin. Baldwin with a nice reception out to the left side on 4th down again. Lampe airing it out. Nice precision passing. And then on the 2-point conversion, none other than Thomas Baldwin. Nice job of keeping his feet in bounds and converting for 2. So score now 21-15. Jeff George is going to have at least 30 seconds to work. Not a lot of time, but for a guy with a gun like Jeff George, still enough to do some damage.
And if anybody knows this rivalry, they understand this game isn't over until the final whistle blows. only trailing by six. You got a quarterback that knows how to throw it deep, but Adam Kramer, very important, and he gets him back in the automatic touchback zone right here for the Carmel Greyhounds. 33 seconds left on the clock as Kramer looks to kick this one away to the south side of the stadium for the first time tonight. That one is going to go at the four-yard line. That one will be received. And this one, he will be brought down in a huge hit there. A great tackle by Osliger of the Cromwell Greyhounds, number 40. First time we've called his name tonight.
And personally, I like kicking it inbounds because you're taking seconds off that clock, and that's important. 33 seconds to 28, that's a big difference right there. 6 seconds in football, that's enough for one play right there. That's enough for one shot down the field that could be the ballgame for Warren Central.
If you're worried about field position, even better result for the Cromwell Greyhounds as Warren Central starts at their own 19-yard line. 28.7 seconds left for the senior quarterback, Jeff George, to try to work some of the magic that we saw the Carmel Greyhounds have on that last drive. Four wide set, three out to his left. George takes the snap, playing prevent defense. Pressure coming now, giving chase. Stetson, that one is going to be incomplete. And Stetson on a three-man rush is still able to dial up the pressure on Jeff George.
And again, I don't understand George's thinking on that per se play right there. I mean, the pocket was not closing down. He had Lee about 10 yards out. Could have hit him mid-range, and Lee had some room to run. But instead, George holding the ball, trying to get out of the pocket, and then tries to shovel it to Lee. I don't understand that at all.
Same formation. Sonnel's coming on the blitz this time. They're looking deep down that right side. That one's going to be intercepted by Noah Burks. Burks is going to take this one back at the 20-yard line, the 15, the 10, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds at the 3-yard line. And the sophomore, Noah Burks, comes up big once again.
Noah Burks, one of my favorite players. I've gotten to see him play baseball and grow up with my little brother. What a guy coming up big on an interception there. Not only does he do an incredible job on that returning team, he wreaks havoc for punters. He does an incredible job as that linebacker, that rover position. And now coming up big in the coverage area with an interception. Almost takes it all the way to the house. 11 seconds left, folks. Safe to say this ball game might be over.
And now John Lampe comes out. For those wondering, it is a first and goal from the 3-yard line, but you got to believe the Carmel Greyhounds aren't in the scoring mood right now with 11 seconds left. They come out in the victory formation, and John Lampe will be under center for this one. Just one snap, the one knee, and this ball game is over, and the comeback is sealed. 21-15, and one of the best games we have seen in recent years here at Carmel Stadium. The two-minute drill by John Lampe, Austin Roberts, and Thomas Baldwin. The Greyhounds moved to 5-2 on the year.
And I'm so incredibly proud to be a part of this ballgame and get to say that I was the one who called this incredible comeback game from the Greyhound side of the field. Came out very lackadaisical, came out very tense almost. Not playing well, but were able to regain that confidence, able to regain their mojo that they've had for the past few games, able to come out with a W. You know, Carmel stepping up. I can't give a player of the game. I know we always do. I can't give a player of the game. You know, first off, John Lampe passing. You know, Lampe never let his head get down. I mean, he kept that team moving. He kept them motivated. And then converts big. Austin Roberts, phenomenal receiver. He's that big play guy. That's the reason he's going to UCLA. That's the reason he's going to go play D1 ball. He's a big time receiver. But then Thomas Baldwin, a sure catch guy. He's got those hands. I got to toss it up to that entire team. And then you go over to the defensive side. I got to stop. They played lights out again, but also Warren Central. Got to give them credit. Came out, played much better than I even expected. Cut that 35-14 prediction way down right there. 21-15. Carmel, Jesse, any last thoughts?
I originally predicted 21-17 would be the final score, but I did not think it would be in this sort of fashion. 21-15 is the final score. Incredible game sealed up by Noah Burks, who started off the game incredibly hot, came through, played clutch, putting pressure on the punting, playing his heart out the entire time, coming up with that last-second interception. There were two guys in that area that could have come up with it. Could have been Burks, could have been Conway, but both of them knowing Burks wanted to go up for that one. Great job on the communication not to run into each other. But they sealed a victory and one of the best wins, I think, the Carmel football program has had in quite some time.
So for Jesse Smith, I'm John Perkins. For Brian Spellbeller, the Greyhound Media Network, and of course, WHJE Radio, which has been the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds for 50 years this year, We thank you. Final score 21-15 in favor of the Greyhounds. They take back this rivalry game on Warren Central, who came and played in a fantastic game. We're going to send it back for some commercial-free radio. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds.